Hey, welcome to Monday Post, the post-sermon, post-Sunday recap from Normandale. It's the post-Sunday, mostly Monday, sermon recap podcast from Normandale. A lot of weeks I'll have extra things, and so we'll throw it in here and other things we want to say. But some weeks, like last week, I don't have anything else to say. And so so we didn't record last week, but we're back. It's Holy Week, and which is a really big deal for Christians, or the Christian calendar, because it is the week leading up to Easter, or the resurrection of Jesus. And so so that's where we're going to focus most of our stuff this morning. But just as a brief recap, yesterday's sermon was the John chapter 12, in which you had Mary, who is Lazarus's sister, come and anoint Jesus with some very expensive perfume on his feet, putting herself in a very humble position of a servant, giving all things to him regardless of the cost, regardless of what other people think. And she was meant to be contrasted with Judas, the worst disciple, who looked at her show of love for Jesus with disdain because he wasn't able to use what she was doing for his own benefit. And so in a sense, he wasn't able to exploit her in the way that he desired to. And so the goal, or what we hope to learn coming out of this, was for us to be inspired by Mary's example to pursue the God that can bring out that kind of belief and desire within a person. So to pursue Mary's God. And she actually, in this act, signified or pointed to Easter, which was 1 week after this, or 6 days after this. And so, in which she was, quote, anointing him for his burial. And actually, Ed, one of our members, pointed this out to me after the service yesterday. He's like, no, this is actually makes a lot of sense that she anointed him ahead of time with the perfume in this prophetic way that she didn't really understand that what was happening at the time. Because after Jesus died on the cross, they had to get him down and bury him very, very quickly because the Sabbath was approaching. And so they had to pull him down off the cross. They didn't have time to do any kind of rituals or anything like that for his body before they threw him in the tomb because Passover time was coming at 6 o'clock and you couldn't do it anymore. You couldn't do anything else after 6 o'clock. And so Ed pointed that out yesterday after the service, and he's like, that makes a lot of sense that she had to do it beforehand. And so I thought that was a great observation from him. And so it was a cool story, cool thing, I think, encouraging for me, in which I want to live to be one who worships and not one who lives to exploit. Now, this event, Mary anointing Jesus for his burial, took place probably on the Saturday before the Holy Week, or Saturday before, this whole Holy Week. And so this was on Saturday. Then yesterday on Sunday would have been his day of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so Jesus is going to get on a donkey and ride into Jerusalem down the Mount of Olives. And so then you have all the people shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the son of, to the son of David, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And all the city is in an uproar about this dude who's coming in, and what they're declaring is he's the king. But he's doing it in a unique way. And so what he's doing in this moment when he's doing the triumphal entry is he's actually mimicking what Solomon did when Solomon came into the city after he was declared king. And so if you remember back, when we taught through 1 Kings, which, total side note, was one of my favorite sermon series I've ever done. And so if you missed any of it, or if you don't remember this, go back into our sermon archives on our website or our podcast, and go back and listen to it. It's one of the first or second sermons we've done in 1 Kings back in, I don't know, a year or two ago, whenever it was we started it. But what happens is, David is dying, and there is this battle setting up. This kind of almost the beginnings of a civil war are taking place, in which you have two heirs to the throne. One who thinks he's the legitimate heir because he's the oldest. One who thinks he's the legitimate heir because he was named the heir by his dad. And so you had Adonijah, and you had Solomon. and they were battling for who was going to become the king. And finally, David, at the request of Bathsheba, declares Solomon is going to be king after Adonijah's been politicking and getting a bunch of people behind him. And so it looks like he's really the one who's going to take power, but Solomon is declared king. And David says, get him my donkey or a mule and have him ride into the city after he's been declared the king and have trumpets shouting. And so as he's riding into the city on a mule, you have the entire city of Jerusalem coming to shout with great joy that Solomon the king is there. And actually in 1 Kings, it says this, and this is 1 Kings 1, verse 40, all the people went up after him, playing flutes and rejoicing with such great joy that the earth split open from the sound. Now, I don't know what that actually means. I don't know what that would have been, that whole earth splitting open. I'm not sure exactly about that, but you have this whole celebration moment where people are lining the streets and watching their king come in. And what are they proclaiming? Long live King Solomon. And so now here in, say, for example, Matthew, you have this account of Jesus getting on a donkey, riding down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. You have the city of Jerusalem coming out and shouting for him. And he said, there's a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled, which says, tell daughter Zion, that's Jerusalem, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus is very clearly making claim here to be the king of the Jews. And so the people are seeing this scene play out, and it is reminiscent of Solomon coming into the city. And so they go out to celebrate it and shout. And what are they shouting? Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, who is the original Son of David? Solomon. And so now they're shouting to Jesus, saying he is the king coming in the likeness of King Solomon into Jerusalem. And they're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And they're putting their palm leaves down and all that stuff. They're saying he's the king. And so that is setting the stage for a big run-in with the authorities in Jerusalem, both with the Jewish leaders and more specifically with the Romans, because they are the kings. They do not want anyone else to be the king, and anyway, they don't want anyone else to claim to be the king. And so he's on a trajectory towards death the second he does this riding into the city. And so there are these plans cooked up, continuing to be cooked up, about how to kill Jesus and to get him out of their situation. And so that's what's happening. That all happens on Sunday. And then today is Monday of Holy Week. And so on this day, what happens? Jesus heads into the temple. But he doesn't just go into the temple in order to praise God. He goes in there and he sees this whole outer court happening where the outsiders can come and worship God, this closest they can get to God's presence. And he sees their whole courtyard taken up by people buying and selling animals, as making it a marketplace. And so there's people who are doing money changing, because people would come from other areas of the country and other places, and they want to come to the Jerusalem. They want to be able to pay their taxes or pay their tithes or pay their offerings. And so they need to change their money into the current currency. And so you have those guys there in the temple area doing that. They have others who are selling sacrifices there. And so they're making it a chaotic place, this place that was originally meant to be a place of prayer for those who couldn't enter in the most central part of the temple. And so what happened is this place that was meant to be prayer for people like you and me, Gentiles, was turned into a marketplace. And to where it was not a place of peace, not a place of seeking God. It was a place of merchandise. And so Jesus runs into that, and he starts flipping over all the tables and starts yelling at everyone to get out of there, flips over their stuff, gets rid of their, lets all their birds out, he makes a whip. He starts whipping at people to get them out of that place. And here's what he says. He says, it's written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves. And so there's this idea that like Jesus is coming in, and he's got this great zeal for what the temple is meant to be, and it's meant to be a place where people can come and meet God. And these people are taking that and turning it into something entirely different for their own benefit. And so rightly he comes in with anger and gets those people out of there, throws their tables over, makes a whip, and gets going. And so there's another concept here, but like the idea of Jesus isn't always the kind guy. He's not walking in here and he's not just being super gentle. He's like, you know what, guys, this is not the best thing you should do. In fact, let's think about this. Let's think about how we could love our other neighbors. No, he runs in there with a whip and he gets them out of there, taking charge of the situation. And I think there's something in that, you know, maybe something we should take away from, and I'm not sure exactly what, but it's kind of just worth noting. And so that's what happens on Monday of the Holy Week. And when he does that, he makes those people who are against him even more against him. And so he's heightening his trajectory towards the cross. And so now as we progress through Holy Week, tomorrow he engages in some more controversies in the temple and tells some parable, quite a number of parables, does a lot of teaching. And so if you want to look at the Holy Week, follow it, you need to get to another gospel other than John, because John, he takes chapter 13 through 13 through 17, in which Jesus is teaching, and it's all one night. It's all that Thursday night. And so if you want to get the other elements of this Holy Week, you need to go to Mark, and you go to Luke, and you go to Matthew, and you can see there the different events that happen throughout the week. Now, this Wednesday night, we are going to be doing our Passover meal, our Seder meal, and that actually took place on Thursday for Jesus, but we're doing it on Wednesday because it fits within our church schedule and just kind of our normal times. So what we're doing with that is, if you're unaware with this, we're celebrating Holy Week in the manner that Jesus would have, just on a day earlier than he did. How this is going to work is eat food before you come. So this is not a full meal. You're just going to have little bits of things, but you're not going to leave full if you come hungry. Also, you don't need to bring anything. It's not a potluck. So we will supply everything. We're going to have all the supplies at your table whenever you get here. But what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the Jewish Passover meal, which the Jews were celebrating when Jesus died. And the reason the reason Jesus died at Passover is because he was going to be the new Passover lamb. And so they were celebrating Passover time. That's why all these extra Jews were in Jerusalem at this time. They were all coming in for that big festival. And so we are celebrating that. And this is the meal that they're walking through, remembering their being brought out from slavery in Egypt and led into the Promised Land. And Jesus took that meal and converted it to being about him and his sacrifice on the cross for us and for our sin. And so that's what we're going to celebrate on Wednesday night. But again, please eat before you come, and you don't need to bring anything with you except full hearts ready to worship. And so that's this coming Wednesday night. But then actually Friday is the day that Jesus died. He was buried. He was executed on the cross. And so it's a full week, an eventful week. Now, if you want to read along with this in your own devotional time, your own personal, you just want to get like spiritually, you want to follow along with what's happening throughout this week, there's a book that you can get. Really, honestly, if you just Google Holy Week Bible references or something like that, Holy Week timeline, you'll get images, you'll get things that people will say, hey, here's the Holy Week, and you can just read along with what happened on that particular day. But there's a book that I think is really, really great by Andreas Kostenberger and Justin Taylor, called The Final Days of Jesus. And essentially what they do is they just put the final days of Jesus under that day of the week, and you can read about their summary of what happens on that particular day, and they have the text, Bible text, where you can go to that as well. So Final Days of Jesus by Andreas Kostenberger and Justin Taylor. And you can get that on Kindle. If you're like, hey, man, I'm interested in that, you can buy it on Kindle. You can have it today and begin to read through those different things if you want to follow along with what all happens during the Holy Week for Jesus. But if you're interested also in the date, very likely it was A.D. 33, April 3rd. So April 3rd, A.D. 33 is probably the day in which Jesus was killed on the cross or crucified, and which would mean April 5th, AD 33 was the day that he resurrected from the dead. And that's what we're going to celebrate on Sunday. So when they say that he was buried and raised 3 days later, it's not three full 24-hour periods. So he was buried on Friday, and so that's day one. He was buried on Saturday, the full day, that's day two. Then he raised on Sunday, day three. And so he was really in the ground, or in a tomb, I suppose, for a day and a half. You know, 36 to 40 hours, something like that, is how long he was actually buried. And so Saturday is kind of significant because it's the only day in history, the full day in which Jesus' body lied lifeless in a tomb. And then Sunday, he raised again. And that's actually why we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday. So Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath and still is the Jewish Sabbath. But it's not for us as Christians. We celebrate on Sunday because it's the day that Jesus resurrected. And so that we've moved our day to that. Now, I hope this is helpful just kind of as an overview of the week for you. And I'm especially looking forward to with all of you celebrating the Passover meal on Wednesday night. Again, that's Wednesday night at 6:30 up here in the sanctuary. And I'm really looking forward to that with all of you. And so again, come, bring your family, bring your lost friends, and we'll see you there. And so happy Holy Week, and we'll see you on Wednesday.